Good morning, everyone. I am not Lindsay Riley. For those that didn't hear my introduction, my name is Noylan Abasamas Mendoza, and I'm going to be presenting on behalf of Lindsay, who unfortunately is very sick. She's here in New Orleans, but she has come down with the flu. So I'm stepping in today, and I hope I do her justice. Today I'm going to be speaking about our in-person assistor navigator program, which is a program that I actually oversee at my coalition, or my organization, Coalition for Asian American Children and Families. So Lindsay, as well as myself, we do not have any financial relationship with commercial interests relevant to this presentation that existed in the last 12 months. The presentation flow will be, I'll give a very brief overview of the New York State of Health, which is the state-based marketplace for New York, talk a little bit about our coalition and the members and how we decided to comprise ourselves this way, and then implementation of our navigation program as well as outreach results and implications for open enrollment 2015. So again, this presentation was put together by Lindsay's organization, the NYU Center for the Study of Asian American Health, as well as my organization, Coalition for Asian American Children and Families. So just to start this presentation, I wanted to give a background about New York and the way that we set up our marketplace. As many of you know, the Affordable Care Act was passed in March 23 of 2010. New York was one of seven early innovator states that received $27 million to get our IT infrastructure up and running and to develop that. Subsequently, we received additional grants to support the work of building our marketplace, and a request for applications was released February 2013 to solicit proposals from various community-based organizations to become navigator sites, and that's how we received our funding. So our coalition, the way that it's set up, we are the lead organization, CACF, and we subcontract to nine different organizations. Just a few things that I wanted to note. Almost all of these organizations, with the exception of one, have never done enrollment assistance for any type of public programs, private insurance. So it is very much a, it's been a big learning curve for us this past year. Regardless of that, they are very deeply embedded into the various communities that they do serve. Two of the organizations have links to a larger hospital or healthcare institution. So for example, Memorial Sloan Kettering is one of the premier cancer centers in New York. Many of our groups also work with very, very small emerging communities, or they were established as an organization less than 15 years ago. So I'm painting this picture because I want to really reiterate the importance of these types of groups to really reaching deep into communities that don't have access to healthcare. Collectively, we serve 23,000 Asian Americans. Our organizations have a capacity to provide language assistance in 15 languages. I also wanted to note that many of our organizations don't solely focus only on Asian Americans. For example, we have a group that does work with the Arab American community, but they also serve South Asians. One of our other groups too, they have an immigrant focus, so they have navigators that speak Portuguese, Haitian Creole, Spanish, and so we're able to provide a breadth of services that way. In New York, there is 1.1 million Asian Americans in New York City. I believe we're the second largest state outside of California with the largest population of Asian Americans. There's almost 14% of the city's population identifies as Asian American. When you look at, though, who is uninsured, the overwhelming majority are limited English proficient, and we have about 30% of our population who's uninsured. And one thing that I wanted to note, at our New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, when you break out who is uninsured, over 80% are actually foreign-born. So when we think about what the Affordable Care Act, who it covers and who it doesn't cover, it has serious implications for our community. So for us, really the larger question is, how can we better take advantage of this historic opportunity to help Asian Americans in New York City gain access to healthcare coverage. So the model that we're really looking at was developed by Langley and Associates, so the Institute of Healthcare Improvement, and it really looks at this model that is looking at planning, doing, studying, and acting. And this is something that we've really kind of developed over the last year, and it's cyclical, and sometimes it happens all at the same time, as you're going to see. So when we developed our Navigator program, I think one key thing to note is who are the staff, who are the individuals who are going to implement this program. And what we soon learned right away, you can't just have anybody be a navigator. And there's things that you kind of just pick up as you're doing this work. So many of our staff are community health workers, and we thought that that was extremely effective. Many of them have experience doing outreach work. And what we saw with some of our organizations that when they hired a new staff and they didn't have some of those interpersonal skills, they often didn't last very long. And as many of you know, this last enrollment period, I think we were all kind of learning as we were going, and it was very tough. So these are just some things to think about when you implement your navigation program. And then in terms of continuing education, what we received in New York was kind of a crash course, 3-day training. They just dumped it all on you, and they were still developing our site. So we actually didn't have the ability to practice on the actual dashboard until October 1st. And we kind of learned as we were enrolling our clients. So that's what we realized, is there was a lot of gaps that our state had in terms of our training. And so our coalition, and during our meetings, we identified what are some other training areas that we want to look into. So one of them that I could say off the bat was, we thought what was sorely lacking was a really in-depth training around immigration status and then who would qualify. And so we had to bring a number of speakers, and I did want to acknowledge the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum, because they were among some of the resources that we actually tapped into. The other thing in terms of planning that we really looked at is what are effective strategies to reach certain communities. And what we found work, for example, in the Bangladeshi community is very different than having to reach, maybe more established communities like the Spanish-speaking community. What resources were available that the state provided didn't necessarily translate to other smaller emerging communities. And our state also in the first year did not develop a standardized way for us to evaluate or collect data. So we as lead organizations had to develop our own metrics so that we can actually, keep track of how are we doing, what are ways that we could improve moving forward. In fact, our state did not give us a standard reporting form until July of this year. Yeah. And then how do we think about a mechanism of sharing lessons learned across agencies? So within our network, there are 21 in-person assisters navigators that were trained and certified across 10 agencies. One mechanism that we thought was really effective was to have monthly coalition meetings. And in addition to that, we have bi-weekly half-hour conference calls, because as you all know, things change so quickly. And we have to think of a mechanism in order to provide ongoing communication. In addition to that, we also have a listserv, and some of our navigators here, they know I completely bombard them and their inboxes probably on a daily basis, and I'm probably going to do that after this presentation just because there's so many things that are changing. And then in terms of outreach strategies, what we found to be extremely effective, particularly working with the Asian American community, was really utilizing ethnic media. And again, it depended on the types of communities that we were serving. Some, they were really fantastic working with the TV. Other communities would rather have something like an ad in their newspaper. Community forums and workshops were also really good ways for us to outreach to the community, as well as a translation of brochures and materials. And you will see later why we decided to spend so much time on outreach. And then something that we're looking to do a little bit more moving forward is really building our relationships with consulate offices and elected officials. So here are just some examples. So this is examples of monthly ads and articles that Lindsay's project, Dream Project, did in different Bengali newspapers. And here are also just some other examples. The picture to the right, and the guy that's going like this, this is one of our navigators, Ischiak, and they have a really innovative strategy. They provide a lot of workshops and trainings for taxicab drivers. And they have been known to do enrollment at 1 a.m. and at 5 a.m. because that's oftentimes when taxicab drivers are picking up their car at the garages and shifting. And so we've had to be really innovative. And unfortunately, that's not when customer service is often available, right? So they're only there probably till 8 p.m. And the reason that we decided to really take that strategy is because they know where the communities are. And then you'll see here, too, here are just some examples of community forums. The state really did not do very well the first year in terms of translating. They only translated to the top, I believe, six languages, two of which were Asian Americans, Korean, and Chinese. So what about all these other communities that have high LEP? So we spent actually a lot of time developing materials in different languages. Again, here's just some examples. So we did like an ACA key terms. A lot of folks, they have never been insured. So what is a deductible? What's a premium? And so we had to take a lot of time to do that. Marketplace checklist. Believe it or not, our state didn't even develop a checklist for folks to come in so that they know what documentation to provide. So we thought that was just a very practical resource to have. So how did we do? So in the first year, we implemented as a group 76 outreach events, and we reached about 4,500 consumers. We conducted 50 community forums and workshops, reaching a little over 2,000. Media was huge. So we did about 88 media activities, and they range, again, from social media, print media, broadcast, you name it. And the circulation or the reach was about 2.4 million, and we provided enrollment assistance to over 12,000. And the reason that that number is so high, we define enrollment assistance in many ways. So it's if somebody calls us, and they have a question about whether they qualify. If we saw them at a health fair, for example, or at a community event, if they came in and then they end up not actually applying. So it's many ways that we're including that, but there's 12,000 times that we had actually help folks. And then ultimately, we enrolled about 2,238 consumers. And I will say as a caveat, there's a disparity in that because what we found is actually many folks that came to us were actually not eligible. Many of them were undocumented, so thinking about what kind of resources we were going to provide them. So how did we do? So New York had a very ambitious goal to enroll about 1 million New Yorkers within the first 3 years, and we actually exceeded that. If you can see, there's 1.3 million New Yorkers that had completed applications, and about 960,000 enrolled just in the first year. So we're well on our way to meeting that number. And then if you see in terms of the ethnic breakdown or the racial breakdown, Asian and Pacific Islanders, there was about 16% who were on Medicaid, 10% was our Children's Health Insurance Program, and 11% qualified in were in qualified health programs. And then if you look at county level data, again, what I wanted to highlight here is quite a few are actually eligible for Medicaid. And what we were seeing, the people who are coming at least through our doors, majority Medicaid, many for the first time insured. So that's very exciting for us. And then in terms of implications for open enrollment 2015, again, tailored messages to different communities is critical. We have very, very strict guidelines for the New York State of Health of what language we can use, but many in our community know it as Obamacare, but we're prevented from calling it Obamacare. So how do you translate that to individuals as well? And then just maintaining an active feedback loop with us as a lead agency, our subcontractors, and the New York State of Health. And I think what's really critical, we're a policy advocacy organization, CACF, and it is completely essential that you continue to advocate for your communities for additional funding. So our grant actually is only for enrollment assistance. So the work that I was actually talking about, the navigators went above and beyond what they were expected to do. We had to fundraise to get additional outreach funding. So I think that's a big frustration, at least in New York for us, is that, you know, the funding that we're getting from the state is kind of counterintuitive. They want people to go through your door, but they're only paying you for the time that they actually sit in front of you in the computer and you're enrolling them. So that needs to continue, as well as really elevating the need for language access. So I'm really happy to say that I think through our advocacy and also leveraging other allies that we have, this resulted in the next open enrollment period. The state has decided that they're going to translate into 10 additional languages. 7 are Asian American languages, as well as Arabic. And so we really feel like our constant pushing for that, will bring more resources to our community. And I think I understand that enrollment doesn't necessarily mean access. As you all know, there is a certain level of continuing education that we have for the health consumers that we've helped. You know, understanding that you have to pay your premiums. Many people actually didn't realize that it's on a monthly basis. If you don't pay it, your insurance is dropped, as well as finding in-network primary care and specialty care, and then managing claims and out-of-pocket expenses. I think one challenge that we see in New York, and I don't think this is only in New York, is many of our community members, they want to go to somebody who speaks their language, that understands their culture. They actually are not signed up for qualified health plans. And so for those individuals who only can get qualified health plans, what does that mean? They have a card, but they're not necessarily having access to care. So that's one thing that we see as another possible advocacy point that we're going to be moving forward on. As well as just thinking about primary preventive care is ensuring that our community members really understand, maintaining appointments, annual exams, and maintaining their medication as well and the resources that they have. So I did want to acknowledge our partners. We actually had kind of a post-enrollment celebration. So this is the photo from that day. We were very relieved. We were one of the states that also extended our open enrollment. So these guys saw that they were done in March. We actually extended until the end of April. So you did want to acknowledge them. And also all of our community partners in our coalition. Our work would not be possible if we also didn't have other allies who really push this work and ensure that we hold the state accountable. And that's to say, we are extremely appreciative and grateful for their investment and really giving funds to our community members to be able to do this work and to build our capacity. Thank you.